Last July 27, we saw the damage by the earthquake that caused destruction in that place called Itbayat, Batanes. And people scampered for their safety, leaving their houses because of the quake as well as the tremors after it. And according to seismologists, the reason why severe damage was caused by it, in fact, it cost 9 lives and 100 people injured, was because of two things. First, their houses were made of limestone. And it is when it is pressed upon that it will become brittle and eventually it will collapse. But the second thing was because most of these houses, were made before the building code was in place. So these two things, whichever cost much, are the basic reasons why this damage was observed by many in that place. And millions of pesos, of course, apart from the lives, were lost. And this is quite similar in the realm of our spirituality. Because in our study of this book that we are basing our study, this is the cause or the reason that Paul is impressing upon Philemon and the believers. And it is because of this faith that you have that your love for the brethren will impinge upon it. And we, as I've noted, or as we have been saying for the last two studies, this book is about a runaway slave, Onesimus, who left his master Philemon, perhaps bringing with him, defrauding his master, taking away some possession. And in the providence of God, he was brought into contact with Paul. And in the process of Paul's ministry, he was converted. And now, though he was made useful by Paul, and now he will be brought back to his master, not just for legal purposes, but of course, in the context of brotherly love. And it is part of the portion of Philemon that we will be discussing the introductory part of his message to Philemon. And we are now on verses 5 to 7, perhaps the last message for the introductory part of this book. And let me now invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. And we will be reading from verses 1 to 7, but our focus will be from verses 5 to 7. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Now, in our first message, as we look into the greeting portion, verses 1 to 3, we said that the gospel is the single unifying power that draws and brings sinners into his chosen community, which is the church. And we said that though they come from diverse status in life, they were brought into that community called the church. And it was because of God's grace, and it is evidence or resulted in peace. And this portion that we are considering, which is from verses 4 to 7, is the thanksgiving and prayer portion of this book. And here, Paul discusses the relationship between faith and love. This is also evident in Colossians 1, verses 3 to 8. In Colossians, Paul focuses on the significance of right belief, which will lead to the right behavior because of the doctrine you hold. But here in Philemon, it will focus on the right action because of the belief Philemon possessed. And he tells us here that of the inextricable relationship between faith and love. And this is the message we derive from verses 4 to 5. The message we said last time, last week, was that true biblical love is the evidence of real and genuine Christian faith. Ang tunay na pag-ibig o pagmamahal sa Biblia ay katibayan ng tunay na Kristiyanong pananampalataya. And we said that it is grounded on faith, but also it is a faith that loves. And now, for our third message from verses 5 to 7, we come now to the climax of the introductory part. And here, Paul will lay down the foundation of his appeal, appealing for Philemon to forgive Onesimus. This part will be the turning point of the theme or the portion where he will now be appealing to Philemon. Again, he gives us the relation of love and faith, or faith and love. And verse 6, according to commentators, is the most puzzling, the most difficult portion of this book, as Paul will always have one in the books that he will be writing. And verse 6 is difficult to understand, for there are several things that we need, or phrases that we need to dissect or to understand clearly. One is the sharing of your faith. Another one is every good thing. And another one is for the sake of Christ. What do these phrases mean in the context of verse 6? But the key word Paul uses, which is new in this part, is the word koinonia. It means fellowship or partnership or sharing and even generosity. And in the New Testament, it is used 19 times. And 13 times it is used by Paul. And when Paul used this, it is used in the active sense. It means that we share in, like in 1 Corinthians 1:9, in God's Son, in His suffering, according to Philippians 3 and verse 10. And we share in the blood and body of Christ, or the Eucharist, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. So the idea that is being given to us is the idea in sharing in the realities of the new covenant blessings we have as a result of Christ. Because we have Christ, we share as God's people in this covenant blessings. It is the fellowship produced by faith. And so Paul appeals to Philemon based on these verses, on the basis of the faith they share. It is the participation or the association they have. And the sharing a common ground best expresses Pauline's sense of common faith and thus common vocation within the gospel ministry. This is how Paul will appeal now to Philemon. And my message this afternoon goes like this. Shared faith in Christ bind believers together as partners in the gospel ministry. Shared faith in Christ bind believers together as partners in the gospel ministry. Ang ating sama-sama o iisang pananampalataya kay Kristo ang nagbubuklod ng mga mananampalataya upang maging katambal o kabahagi sa gawain ng Ebanghelyo. And Paul prays that Philemon's faith will once again become effective. He notices, or we notice in the earlier verses, verse 4, that he mentions of the effectiveness of the faith of Philemon. And he prays now that once again, it will become effective in love towards needy members of the fellowship. Because of Onesimus' conversion, how will Philemon accept or treat Onesimus? A slave, now a brother in Christ, in the community, in the church. And so Paul prays for Philemon to have the proper or right response. Hinihikayat niya si Philemon na dahil sa kanilang shared faith, sa kanilang pananampalataya kay Kristo at ngayon kabilang sila sa isang iglesia, umaapila siya kay Philemon na dahil dito nawa magkaroon ka ng tamang pagtugon upang tanggapin si Onesimo sa kabila ng kanyang ginawa para maging kabahagi ng inyong iglesia or the spirit of the koinonia. And Paul's prayer for Philemon is to act in wisdom and grace in living his faith by the exercise of his love. Now, Paul will highlight the reality of the close and intimate fellowship that Christians enjoy with one another as a fundamental basis for the way we perceive ourselves and for the way we respond to specific situations in life. And Paul highlights now how communal fellowship or koinonia should be in two ways. First, it is characterized by active faith. And secondly, it is held together by the bond of love. So we see here again the relationship between faith and love. As Paul is now expounding on this truth in the context of the local church or the community of God's people. First, characterized by active faith na ilalarawan sa pamamagitan ng aktibong pananampalataya. Now, unpacking verse 6, as I've said, it is quite a difficult, but we will try to proceed because this is the key in understanding Paul's prayer, that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing. This is what he says in verse 6. Now, Paul could have prayed simply for Philemon's faith to become more effective, and it is still a good prayer, in fact. But Paul mentions, or instead Paul puts into his prayer the word koinonia. And sharing of your faith defines the relationship that Paul and Philemon as believers have in Jesus Christ. This is the idea, the koinonia of the sharing of your faith, the koinonia of your faith. It is what will define. It is not the sharing of your faith in an evangelistic or witnessing aspect. That is not the point. But Paul now proceeds that it may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing. What does Paul mean when he says this? Now, let's try to understand the different words he used. Effective connotes activity or energy. Knowledge used here is a compound Greek word, meaning not abstract knowledge, but knowledge of his will. And finally, of every good thing means the will of God. So when we put them together, it is about, and one more thing, when Paul mentions here the full knowledge, or in other translation, it is used aside from other than full, they use deepening. It is an attempt to capture the relationship between knowledge and effective. It is not in the sense of deepening knowledge, but a practical and experiential knowledge, meaning because of what you know, then you will perform it. Knowledge, according to Paul, is not just the possession or the gaining of knowledge, but this knowledge should be performed in the context of the body of Christ in the church. So when you share in the faith, you have fellowship when you apply the truth and principles of the Word of God in actual, practical, experiential ways in the context of the church. And so the practical outworking of our faith within the community will bear upon the gospel we profess and bear witness of. It is when we apply the practical, in practical ways, the gospel, the truth that we hold, that we bear upon in the community of the of God, the church, that we bear upon the gospel we profess and bear witness. Now, Paul prays for wisdom for Philemon, that he will make a right decision. He wants Philemon to understand this truth so that in the process of understanding this principle, he will be able to come up with the right decision in regard to accepting Onesimus back to himself for the sake of the church. It is in the forgiving and the accepting of Onesimus. Now, though Paul doesn't explicitly mention this in this part of his prayer, Philemon's decision will have communal repercussions. Whatever Philemon's decision will be in this appeal of Paul, it will have an effect, not only in the life of Philemon, but in the context of the church of God that meets in Philemon's house. And so the issue here, for Philemon is, for Paul, looking into Philemon, will his decision be influenced by existing social and cultural norms or standards, or by his professed faith in Christ that has brought him in the community of believers? Those were the two things, perhaps, that Paul was thinking at the back of his mind. How will Philemon decide on this issue? Will he be basing his decision on the social and cultural norms and standards of which he was a part of? Or will he be basing it on the truth of scriptures from the Word of God that he holds dear as now a member of God's community? And perhaps certain pressure bear upon Philemon. For Philemon, he will have these thoughts at the back of his mind. Certainly, there will be family and community implications if he will have to think deep into his decision. He has that social standing. Perhaps he will lose face if he capitulates to a runaway slave. He will be perceived perhaps as soft on slavery and ruin his reputation as a respectable and reputable citizen and even a slave owner. Now, Philemon is a wealthy man because he owns slaves. And perhaps he has a reputation to protect in the community where he belongs. And this would have an effect on his decision. He will be perhaps perceived by, over time, napakahina mo, Philemon. Ikaw ay takot. Napakahina mo sa iyong mga conviction. Masyado kang maluwag kung patatawarin mo si Onesimus. On the family side, how will the other slaves perceive him? We don't know if he had more slaves, just more than one slave. But perhaps if there were slaves, how will the other slaves perceive? How will they think of Philemon? Perhaps it would cause uproar or rebellion, for it will create a precedence in the household. And for others to follow. And how about the financial effects it will bring to his family? When you lose a slave, you lose an opportunity to earn. And plus the fact, I was defrauded by this man. I lost something, perhaps materially. Forgiving? That would be quite difficult for Philemon. But as Philemon perhaps thought of this, thought in his mind, thinking of how he will make a decision, perhaps the words of Paul written to the Colossian believers resonated on his mind, because together with this letter of Philemon, which Tychicus will be bringing, is also the letter to the Colossian church. And in Colossians 3 verse 11, it says here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Whatever decision Philemon will be making will have cultural, it will break cultural and social boundaries down. Perhaps these words, again, would resonate in the mind of Philemon in Colossians, for it was written to the church during his time. And what about Colossians 1:19 and 20? For it says, "For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross." These were the words of Paul speaking of what Christ did on the cross. It is because of what Christ did on the cross where he reconciled sinners like him, like all the brethren. In fact, this was a Gentile church. They were in olden times outside the covenant of the living God, but in the goodness of God brought into the community through the ministry of Paul. And this resonated perhaps to Philemon because of what Christ did on that cross. They are now one. They become one in spirit and in their soul as brethren put together in the community of God's people, which we now call the church. And this would create a new sense. And that is why in the light of this truth, people who are still outside the realm of grace of God, God is still calling you. God is still speaking to you if you are still not reconciled to the God who has reconciled sinners, of which you and me are deserving of his wrath, then you are without hope, my friend. And these were the very words that reminded Philemon as to how he would be making his decision. By forgiving Onesimus, Philemon will experience that good thing in him known as forgiveness. By walking in obedience to God's will, believers experience the good things God has placed within them. This is what we experience if we appropriate for ourselves the truth of Scriptures, most specifically and importantly, the truth that we have been reconciled. We have been forgiven by our Savior despite our unworthiness and how undeserving we are. And this is the beauty that Paul wants Philemon to see. Because of his forgiveness, he is now in the possession of reflecting what Christ did on this slave, now a brother in Christ. Speaking of beauty, many say that it is more beautiful underwater. When you go in the depths of the ocean and explore the ocean floor, you will see the real beauty of what God has created. And for you to be able to explore it, you should have certain skills or talents or knowledge in scuba diving to enjoy it. Because it will not be possible for many of us to go under to see it for ourselves. Now, if you read books and perhaps get some training, but without actually diving under, you will not confirm for yourself the real beauty that you are going to see when you explore the ocean floor. And this is the same thing. The beauty of what we have in Christ to the forgiveness, we will never explore its great treasures or the richness if we do not live out this truth in our life and even in the context of the Church of God. And so the challenge for us, how do your relational issues and decisions bear upon your witness for the gospel? How does our relational and, or rather, issues and decisions that we make bear witness of the gospel we hold dear? Paano nakakaapekto ang iyong mga pangrelasyong desisyon o suliranin sa iyong patotoo sa Ebanghelyo? Now, we are partners in this gospel ministry, as Paul says. And whatever decision we make in the relational aspect will bear upon the gospel that we hold on to, that we say that is dear to us. Our shared faith in Christ should radically alter our communal relationship for Christ's sake. Like Philemon, we have our own decisions to make in regard to our various relationships. It may not be as defining as Philemon's, but nevertheless, they will bear upon our witness of the gospel. So the question I would like for us to think, or perhaps to answer for ourselves, what relational issues remain unresolved and a growing burden upon you, upon me, upon all of us? And so what scriptural truth have you continually and repeatedly ignored or disobeyed? It may not be just among brethren, as in the case in the community, but with those whom we seek to reach for the gospel. It may be family relationships, perhaps siblings, issues among them, parents and children, or parent and child, or perhaps spouses, or even in the workplace, or even among with your friends you hold dear. Brethren, it will bear upon the gospel we profess and seek to bring to the lost, for it will be our testimony individually as well as corporately as God's body. Perhaps the reason why our witness is not effective after all, perhaps these are the reasons why our witness before this world is not effective, because of these issues that hound us. Or it may be, or if we do not have the zeal and passion for ministry or have withdrawn from it, it might have been caused by such issues that still remain unresolved. It can only be the visible witness of Christ's reconciliation of the world to God if its members, God's people, actively discern the will of God in their lives and apply it to their relationships with fellow Christians and fellow human beings. These are the realities of this truth that we bear upon because of the gospel we hold dear. It is in the relational issues that we apply the truths for our growth and sanctification. Knowledge is not only meant to be possessed, but to be performed, as Paul reminds Philemon. And it is still the same truth that should remind us. It is in the workshop of day-to-day relations that we apply this truth and experience the transforming power of the gospel. When we apply these truths in our life, we project or we reflect the power of the gospel to reconcile people, though depraved, weak, and frail, because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Creating lives that will sing to the glory of God. And what a wonderful thing it is, a witness before this unbelieving world, if people, believers, will act upon this truth, convicted of its truth and reality, and apply it in the context of their relationships, in their lives, in the community, and especially with the lost. It is in this relationship, the entanglement of this relationship, that God works in us for our sanctification. We cannot, there is no other way. It is through this relationship that the graces we need will grow and be manifested before the unbelieving world. At the end of the American Civil War, Thaddeus Stevens demanded to Abraham Lincoln to destroy totally all their enemies. But Lincoln confronted Stevens and said, "Mr. Stevens, do I not destroy my enemy when I make him my friend?" These are powerful words, for it is when reconciliation makes our enemy our friend perhaps our ultimate friend, but better still, become a Christian by our testimony and the right spirit we hold in the relationship and in the conflicts that we have. And what a wonderful reminder it is, and what a great truth that we need to apply in the context of the body of Christ, the church. But secondly, it is held together by the bond of love. Pinagbubuklod ng big kiss ng pag-ibig, o pinagbubuklod ng pag-ibig. Now, verse 7 gives the reason for Paul's thanksgiving and optimism of his request or appeal. Philemon's demonstration of love to the saints, which he has been known, is Paul's optimism. In fact, he now focuses on love and picks up from verses 4 and 5 in the thanksgiving portion that we have read. And it will now serve as a transition to the main body of the letter. Starting on verse 8, it will now be the main portion of the body of the letter, which we hope to expound, Lord willing. And so Philemon's past benevolence to fellow Christians shows him to be a man filled with Christian compassion. And his past generosity now emboldens Paul to make an audacious request for an Onesimus because of the overflowing expression of love, because of how Philemon has been known to Paul and to the believers. Paul now had this confidence to appeal before Philemon. For it is that love is exercised in the sharing of necessities of life in the time of need of brethren. This is what Philemon's testimony is before the church and according to Paul. It is when love is exercised, Philemon's love is exercised in the sharing of necessities of life in the time of need of brethren. Paul expresses great joy and comfort. We have, according to verse 7, Paul will now express great joy and comfort because of Philemon's love. Perhaps in other translations, instead of comfort, they use encouragement. Oh, I believe which is better, for comfort fits better in a circumstance of difficulty or hurt. Furthermore, Philemon has refreshed the hearts of the saints, according to Paul. And the word Paul used for heart is not cardia, but another Greek word that has a physiological meaning of inward parts or entrails or bowels. It is generally used in the New Testament in an extended sense to connote seat of emotions. And so it means deep love and sympathy that comes from the inner being. In fact, this is what Paul used in Colossians 3 verse 12, putting on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. But in Philemon, according to Douglas Moo, it has another meaning. It speaks of total personality at the deepest level, denoting that Philemon's love has refreshed the people of God at the deepest and most significant level of their being. Of those recipients of love, those people whom Philemon ministered were truly ministered by his expression of love. Perhaps reflecting to the lasting effects of Philemon's ministry over a period of time, it was meant to describe the effect of Philemon's love to the brethren. It was not just for a short time, for a moment. It was rather for a long time. They cherished it in their hearts. They were truly refreshed. They were exceptionally ministered by this man called Philemon that made him exceptional according to the testimony of the saints to Paul. A heartening and encouraging effect that ministry has on people, according to 1 Corinthians 16:18, for they refresh my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men. This is what Paul commends Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus because of how they ministered to Paul at this time. Now, we don't exactly know the real circumstances surrounding this. We are not told of how Philemon ministered, on what grounds. Perhaps a calamity that Philemon was of great help through some benevolent efforts, as some commentators say. Perhaps it was because of an earthquake that happened in history around 60 AD. But again, we are not given. We don't know the specifics of the situation Philemon was able to minister. Now, we might be involved in various ministries. And it is right. There is nothing wrong with it by being involved in ministries. But this reminds us that many ministries may seem successful, but it may only have superficial and in so doing artificial or temporary impact on the lives of believers. What creates a lingering effect upon people are those that truly refresh their soul, for it is born out of love. This is what Paul reminds us in our time. We need to understand ways and means to be of help to the brethren, to minister to others with the bond of love we have because of the gospel. Now, during storms or typhoons, one of the government forces that we would immediately hear or see are the coast guards. They are entrusted with manning our coastline. And during typhoons, when the signal is raised by PAGASA, their immediate instinct or decision will be to let ships, not to allow ships to leave port. And the reason for this, of course, is clearly to prevent disaster. We have witnessed several disasters, maritime disasters, because of the failure of our authorities to implement the right protocol in order to save lives. And this is basically what these people are doing, not because they hate to hinder people from living and going to their respective destinations, but it is because of duty, call of duty for the love of lives, so that they will not be lost in case of another disaster on the high seas. And this is what we minister to others in practical ways, so that we can express the love of what we hold, the love we have because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the challenge for us is to examine ways where you can be of refreshing and encouraging impact and influence in the household of God. Examine, think, where you can be of refreshing and encouraging impact and influence in the household of God. Now, I am afraid that such an example of Philemon is quite difficult to follow. For one, he seems to be a man of authority and affluence. He may be a tough act to follow, as we say. But this should not be the hindrance. It would need much sensitivity, as well as thoughtful and concerted prayer on our part to act in the same manner. But as you prayerfully discover ways by which you can be one, it would be best at the very least for you not to be a source of discouragement, or perhaps a draining, exhausting, a wearying impact in the community of God's people, like a sponge, or perhaps the leech that loves to take in but doesn't do anything good. And in the same way, we have people or like of, in those situations who have those tendencies in the body of Christ. And this, we should reflect on this. Christ's example is that he ministered to others. And it is ours as well that we find ways to minister to others as opportunity comes our way. As we become sensitive to the cares and concerns of others, we impact the lives of others by extending sacrificial service and help. This should be the attitude. This should be the culture we should have in our church. We will help alleviate the burden of others. And that is precisely why we have our benevolence ministry. We want to help those who are in need, not only within the church, but even within the community we belong. This challenges the current mentality, even among Christian churches, of individualism or self-sufficiency. In our culture, we see the church more as a voluntary association of people who happen to hold the same religious views or beliefs. May it be not said of our membership in this church and our testimony as Christ's body. May this not be said of us individually and collectively. Mickey Cohen, according to Kent Hughes, was the most infamous gangster of the 1950s. And he visited an evangelistic meeting one time. And he showed interest in Christ. He was visited by Christian leaders because perhaps being a gangster, he would be of great influence if he will be rich for the gospel. And one night, when someone was sharing the gospel or teaching the word of God, when they reached Revelation 3, verse 20, it is said that he opened the door of his life. With great expectation, Christian leaders expected change in his life as a result of what he professed. But months went on, nothing changed in his life. So he was confronted by his Christian friends because of the issue they have on his life. And he responded, "No one had told me that I would give up my work and friends. After all, there are Christian football players. We have Christian cowboys. We have Christian politicians. Why not a Christian gangster?" Well, it is quite a funny story, but it is a sad. It is sad because this still happens in the midst of God's church. Perhaps we see people who profess to know Christ and yet remain unchanged in the way of life, in the way they live the gospel they hold dear, as they say. And for Christians failing to love, expressing the faith that they hold dear, it is no better. We are no better. And this is what Paul appeals to us as God's people. This is what will differentiate us from the world we belong in the world that we seek to reach for the gospel. For Paul, church membership means something more, where two households intersect, the natural and the spiritual. May we heed Paul's call, not only for Philemon, but may we heed this as we profess our faith in Christ and bring the gospel to the lost in our time, in our various acquaintances, and in the community we live. To close, let us sing our second to the last English hymn, "Blessed Be the Tie." This is the tie that binds God's people. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like that to that above. May this remind us of our duty, of our responsibility as believers, as a church. We have this bond because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to express it, to share it with that love that sent forth the Lord Jesus Christ to die for sinners like us. Let us close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your loving words, words that remind us of who we are in Christ, words that remind us of what we have because of the atoning sacrifice of our Savior. And it is because of this that we are brought into the community called the church. It is where we share, we are in fellowship, and we have that bond because of Christ's saving work. And Father, this entails duties and responsibilities. It requires for us to be faithful and active participants in gospel ministry, in the way we reflect through our lives, in the way we apply the truth of scriptures, so that we will see the power of the gospel not only working in your community, but also for this world to see how wretched, unworthy, undeserving sinners like us are being changed through the power of the gospel. And it is because of that great love that you have for sinners that we can express the same love, or that we are made to respond in the same love in our dealings with each other, in our dealings within the corporate body, even with the unbelieving world. So help us, O God. Forgive us for the many times that we fail to apply this principle. And Lord, may the challenge of Paul to Philemon be the same challenge to us as your people. Help us to come to you. Help us to admit our failures, our mistakes, our sinfulness. But help us to respond with obedience. For you desire for your people to obey your word, so that we may be witnesses powerfully for the gospel. Thank you, Father, for all these things that we have learned. Teach us to apply these principles. Grant us the grace and the wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.